Pastor Ray Bentley with insight on repentance.
Is there a place, or are there situations or circumstances or even old relationships that need to be severed in order that you might be totally, completely given to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you destroyed the old kingdom that you're totally sold out to Him? That's what repentance really means. Thus, it means to turn around and go in the opposite direction.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's impossible to go forward and backward at the same time. We can't go forward in our walk with the Lord if our hearts are pulling us backward to what we left behind in our old lives. Today, Pastor Ray shows us that message was communicated clearly in Jesus' words to the seven churches. Here's Pastor Ray to begin.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We'll pick up where we left off. The title of the message is Watch. Wake up. Be alert. And boy, there could not be a more appropriate message to Christians and to believers and to followers of Jesus Christ than that. Guys, we need to be awake. We need to be alert. We need to know what's happening, what's going on. God is on the move. His Spirit is being poured out upon all flesh. The great things are happening. In China, they say that today, they can hardly keep up with how many people are coming to the Lord. They estimate that somewhere near 50,000 people a day are being added to the kingdom every single day. They're even talking about the tipping point where Christians are so permeating within society, it's having a profound impact all the way up to the upper echelons in China. It's a glorious thing. But listen to what Jesus says to the church of Sardis. Sardis was a church that was asleep to its day. It was asleep to its time. It wasn't aware. It was not awake. It was complacent. And it was also compromised. And it's a message that we need to take heed today. And to the angel in the church in Sardis write, verse 1 of chapter 3, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wow. We talked about how this historically speaks of the Reformation and this glorious, marvelous move of God, getting the church back to its roots, back to the Bible, back to the Word of God, getting the Bible translated, the martyrs that came as a result of that. But it broke strongholds that had been in the church for over 1,000 years. But it had not come far enough. And God was wanting to bring it to the next level. You have a reputation, he says, but you are dead. Verse 2, be watchful. So here's the remedy. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So he says, you're not completely dead yet, but you're dying. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. And therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. The Lord says to the church, repent. I want to give to you maybe a new way of thinking about repentance. In ancient times, when a country became strong economically, politically, their army, and they wanted to go out and conquer and take conquest of other nations, such as Babylon that went and conquered Israel, you know what they did? They didn't just conquer their army. And they didn't just take the best and brightest of their young and take them in exile from Israel to Babylon. They did something else. They destroyed their houses. In fact, as history attests, they destroyed the house of God. They destroyed the temple. Why? So that even when they went to Babylon, they had the victory, they had the power, they had the ability, and they brought them there, and they were brokenhearted, those who were alive and had survived. Even if they wanted to run away, even if they wanted to escape, they could not go back because there was no home and there was no house of God to worship to go back to. Now, what's interesting is I want to share with you the root word of repent in the Hebrew. The Hebrew letters are pictures and they tell a story. And if you look at the ancient Hebrew letters for repent, they basically tell this story. It means, to repent means to destroy the house. To destroy the house. Well, what does that mean, to destroy the house? Well, here from that ancient story I just told you, I want to take that analogy and switch it around a little bit so that you understand when the Bible says repent, what it means. You and I were conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he conquered us, not by killing us, he conquered us with love. Amen? He conquered us by love. He conquered us by laying down. He died. Instead of us killing us, he gave himself. He was crucified. He died. And our hearts were pierced by that amazing grace and that tremendous love. He conquered us. And now we have come willingly to be part of his family. We've been brought in as his sons and as his daughters. But then the Bible says, repent, destroy the house. Just as God had told the children of Israel when he delivered them from 400 years of slavery and bondage in ancient Egypt. And he said, now I'm going to take you to a land of promise that I will bless you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And I will be there. My presence will be there. And I will bless you there. But what happened along the way was halfway through in the wilderness, there were many, because it was hard, they said, we want to go back. Where did they want to go back to? Egypt, which then there represented the world. They wanted to go back. So the idea of destroying the house of repentance means that the Bible is saying we should destroy our old homes that are represented by the world or by the flesh. Our old worldly life and home, let that be destroyed, that we have nothing to return to. We are now following the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when it's difficult to be a disciple, even when there's a price to be paid for identifying with Jesus Christ, we are so lovingly, loyally committed to the one who gave his life for us, we don't have an old home, we don't have an old worldly home to go back to. So I ask you the question that Jesus said to the church of Sardis, repent. Many in the church of Sardis had left their old Roman homes available so they could be with the church when they needed to, but they could run to their old life and their old ways and their old haunts and their old habits when they wanted to. And thus they were divided. They had one world in the kingdom, one foot in the world, and they were a divided people. The Lord wants a loyal heart, and he wants a united heart. Is there, therefore, let me ask the question, is there a place or are there situations or circumstances or even old relationships that need to be severed in order that you might be totally, completely given to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you destroyed the old house and the old kingdom that you're totally sold out to him? That's what repentance really means. Thus, it means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. Now, in these verses, Jesus also says twice, watch. He goes, I want you to watch. Listen again. He says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, he says it a second time, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I will come upon you. The idea of watching comes from a shepherd. The primary responsibility of a shepherd is to watch his sheep. Now, I have told you this, and I'll just give the short version, but when I was about 14, 15 years of age, I was, for 1 year, I went to Elkhorn Valley High School, and my freshman year, it's a long story of why, but I was a future farmer of America. So I was, you know, and in that class, we learned about farming and land and soils and seeds, which was very interesting. I think God was preparing me to be another kind of farmer for a different kind of crop spiritually. But you also had to pick an animal that you were to raise and then bring to the Del Mar Fair. So guess which animal I picked? I picked a sheep, and I affectionately named him Curly. I did not know that God was setting me up. He was setting me up that I was one day going to be a shepherd. But I had to learn about sheep, and I learned some interesting things. I love sheep. They're gentle little creatures. They're also not the brightest animals. They will eat things they shouldn't eat, poisonous plants. They don't know. They'll eat anything. So the shepherd has to go before them, pull the poisonous plants, and prepare the way. They also will, when they eat, they have their heads down eating the grass, and then slowly they move forward like this. They will never look up, and they will literally fall off a cliff and say, "What happened?" If they're thirsty, they could be like, let's say you and me, we're a sheep here, and we look over there and there's water. As sheep, we'd go, "Boy, that looks good. I'm so thirsty." And we'd just stare at it. Until a shepherd would come and say, "Hey, are you guys thirsty? Uh-huh, follow me." And then we would go. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus looked at humanity and he said, "You guys remind me of someone in the animal kingdom. You remind me of sheep. You need to be constantly watched over and cared for." And so they have no natural defenses. They have no ability. You know, most animals, some can fly. Some have, you know, spiny things. Some can dig and burrow into the ground. Some can run fast. If a predator comes to a sheep, here's its only defense. It just goes, So what is a sheep's only protection? To be with the flock. Why? Because where the flock is, that's where the shepherd is. Great analogy for believers. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. But especially for the times in which we live, we need to be where the flock is, because that's where the shepherd is. As we saw in Revelation, he is in the midst of the seven-branched lampstand, the seven branches representing the church. Jesus is in the midst of his church. Yes, we all have a personal, individual relationship with the Lord, but he says, "I made a family of brothers and sisters, and I like it, and I manifest my glory when you come together, even two or three of you, in my name." So he is there. He says, "Watch over me." He watches over us as our shepherd. But we need, and here's what Jesus is saying to the church. If shepherds have the responsibility of watching over sheep, sheep have also a responsibility to watch and follow the shepherd. Watch. In other words, Jesus is leading. So you've got his flock, and the flock in Sardis, most of them were not following the shepherd. He's the one who is their protection. He's the one that knows where the water is. He's the one pulling out the poisonous plants. He's the one preparing the way for them. And they're off wandering on their own, and only a tiny little group is following at his heels. So there was a problem there. So there is no commandment that appears more frequently than this, to be watchful. Read with me Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand." How true that is. How close are we to the coming of the Lord? I don't know, but I know this: the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And I am telling you, Jesus is coming soon. He is coming. And we need to be ready, and we need to be watching, and we need to be waiting for him.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so pleased to hear from listeners who tell us they tune in and grow through these daily studies here on Maranatha Radio.
"Dear Pastor Ray, I began listening to your radio broadcast a few years ago during my breaks at work. I am now home full-time raising my five-month-old, and I am able to listen more frequently when my son goes down for his naps. I wanted to send along words of encouragement from my husband and myself. Your teaching has enabled my spiritual growth in ways we cannot describe, and I want to express my appreciation and gratitude. God's Word truly makes such a difference. Amazing."
How have these studies in God's Word impacted your life? Would you mind sharing that news with Pastor Ray? Send him an email today at ray@raybentley.com. We'd like to rejoice along with you. Again, write to ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, what should we be watching for? Well, quickly, several things. Number one, we must be on watch from the schemes of the enemy. The enemy is a predator, following the analogy of sheep predators. I don't know if you've ever watched the animal show, channel, whatever it is, and you see those predators, and it's, you know, you'll see whatever the deer or something, and they're standing there and they're staring. There's the lion sitting over. They can see them, but a little distance away. And the lions are, you know, for a while, they're just looking, staring at lunch and relaxed. They may even kind of be yawning. And they seem not threatening at all. They may get up, stretch a little bit. So the animals look over and then they put their head down and they look up and they go. And very slowly the lion's walking over. It looks like nothing in the world is going on until that dramatic moment where all of a sudden, boom, it's on. And the lion has gauged the distance and their speed capacity in the beginning, whatever the predator may be, and to catch that animal. The enemy is often around about us. We know he is there, and we know that God loves us, has a wonderful plan for our life. The devil hates your guts and has a horrible plan for your life. Fortunately, most of you have opted for God's plan. That's why you're here. But there is still the enemy who is there, seemingly to you at a safe distance, but we need to be wary. We need to be watching. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let's read this out loud. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy, he is subtle. Would you agree with that? He is patient. He knows mankind forward and backward. There's really nothing new under the sun as far as our humanity and our weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and he knows to take advantage. So be watching for that. The history of the city of Sardis was an example enough of what happens when you're not watching. Twice, the city that was built up on a bluff had neglected to put watchmen on the walls to warn the people inside or to protect them because it was virtually impenetrable. We could see them from, and we can so easily defend it, that they didn't even have anybody on the walls for two different times, separated by several hundred years, and they were overtaken. So Jesus says to the church, you're not alert. You have no idea who the enemy who is out there in the weeds, who sees you, is about ready to pounce. So be watching and prepared. Secondly, we must be on the watch for temptation. Matthew 26:41, let's read that out loud. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Can anybody say amen to that? When your spirit is, you know, you're filled with the Spirit and you're new and you just love the Lord and you want to pray and you experience the Spirit of God, the glory of God within you, whoo, it's awesome. And then your flesh, it just doesn't want to go along. Your spirit wants to spend time with God. Your flesh wants to sleep a little bit more. Your spirit wants to read the Bible. Your flesh wants to watch more TV. Your spirit, and so the spirit and the flesh, they're constantly battling. And what did Jesus say? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. He sets traps. So be watching, be alert, be aware of that. And then thirdly, repeatedly, the Bible urges believers to be watching for the coming of Christ. Now, I believe this is not only just the second coming, but the coming of Christ. You do realize that every generation for the last 2,000 years has had a coming of Christ to them. Either you're going to him or he's coming down to you. Either way, at the end of your life, you're going to have a Christ coming. And oftentimes, it's sooner than we would have imagined. The Bible says that he knows, God knows the number of our days. We don't know. We don't know the number of our days. Moses wrote in a psalm, he said, Lord, teach us to number our days, to live every day to the best of my ability, to glorify the Lord. There's an invisible number above all of our heads. That's how many days we have left. Some of us think that number is bigger than it actually is. It may not be as big as we think. And so we have to be watching and we have to be, in other words, you can't slough off. Oh yeah, I gave my life to the Lord and Now I'm on, I'm on cruise control spiritually. I want to have fun. I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to make myself happy. Well, that's what many in Sardis had decided to do. And it was a price they were going to pay personally. It was a price that they would pay internally. And it was a price they would pay collectively for this whole church. So Jesus wrote in the Gospel of Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. No man knows the day that eternity will invade his or her life. St. Augustine said the last day is a secret, and that every day must then be watched. Every day is a gift from God, a day that we can rejoice, a day that we can live for him. And may I add, you're setting the patterns and priorities of your own life and nature and character that will flow right into your first day in heaven in the kingdom of God. Because your last breath on earth will be followed by your first breath in heaven. And when your eyes close to your loved ones on earth, they will first open to see your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Life continues on. So we must live now. We have eternal life even now.
From the book of Revelation, Pastor Ray Bentley with instructions for how to live our lives here and now in light of the days to come. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message here on Maranatha Radio, contact us and mention the title, Watch. We'll send it your way on CD for your gift of any size. Again, that one-word title, Watch. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You know, Pastor Ray, sometimes we learn some of the most important principles by seeing them lived out in someone's life. In fact, the Bible tells so many parables for that very reason. They're living examples of one principle or another. Well, you have a new book just out, a novel that follows the life of a man through many trials and tribulations, and we can learn a lot from this man's story. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. People are going to fall in love with this main character. His name is Jack Garrison. He's a guy that's a believer. He goes to Baylor University. He's a Christian guy. And then a tragedy happens in his life that literally hits him blindside and totally robs his faith. He gets totally disoriented. But that's when God begins to work in mysterious ways. And all of a sudden, we see this guy that's lost everything. He's gone through a personal tragedy and tremendous pain and loss. And yet he's living in modern times, like right now. He gets brought along into a story where the next thing you know, he's walking the streets of Jerusalem, where he doesn't even believe in the, old guys, prophets with beards walking through the desert talking about end times, apocalyptic things. He says that's all nonsense. And yet he has some supernatural adventures and encounters that open his eyes to where he gets drawn right into the very midst, into the very center of the last days of the prophetic events while he's walking the modern streets of the city of Jerusalem. It's an incredible story. I can't wait for people to read it.
Well, the book is just out. It's called On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by Pastor Ray and bestselling author Bodie Taney. And we'll send a copy your way to thank you for your donation of any size. You can choose the amount, but please remember that it's your generosity that helps us continue to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So get in touch today. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com.
And David, one more thing. I wanted to encourage everybody to please sign up for my daily devotional. We'd love to send that to you. Just go sign up for it at raybentley.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that comes to you via email, and it's free of charge. Again, go to raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.